When it comes to violent crime, the nation's biggest metropolis is safer than it has been in half a century. There were 418 murders last year in New York, a city of more than 8 million people, and that is the lowest total since the early 1960s. As to the reason why and who should get the credit, well, there's debate about that, as NPR's Joel Rose reports.
No part of New York City saw a more dramatic decline in murders last year than the 61st Precinct.
Give me one more meat and another potato.
The Sultan Meat Market and Deli is on the ground floor of a high-rise in Sheepshead Bay, a middle-class neighborhood in South Brooklyn. Ajar Izabakova works behind the counter. She says she feels safe in the neighborhood, even when she leaves the store late at night.
All the time when I come after my job, it's about like 10 o'clock, I see on the every corner police workers, and I feel safe. And I live alone here, so and more cops, more safety.
2 years ago, there were 14 murders in the precinct. Last year, it only had three. Citywide, the murder rate dropped 18% compared with 2011, and a remarkable 80% compared to the bad old days of the early 1990s. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been happy to talk about that decline, as he did at a graduation ceremony for New York Police Department recruits last month.
The number of murders this year will be lower than it has been at any time since records started to be kept some 50 years ago. Yes, they deserve a round of applause.
The numbers for New York are especially striking next to those for cities like Chicago and Detroit, which saw their murder rates go up last year. But experts say we should be cautious about jumping to conclusions about what is really happening in New York.
Homicide goes down and the mayor turns to his police chief and he says, "Hey, what did we do last year? It worked."
Franklin Zimring is a law professor at UC Berkeley and the author of a book about New York called The City That Became Safe. He says it's a mistake to think that yearly fluctuations in the murder rate always have a cause in specific policies.
If you're going to make the assumption that the changes in crime rates always are responding to policies, then why shouldn't we be blaming the police for the slight increases in 2010 and 2011?
The NYPD declined interview requests for this story. Although Police Commissioner Ray Kelly has frequently tied the drop in shootings and homicides to the department's aggressive tactics, including the controversial practice known as stop and frisk, in which police officers can stop, question, and frisk anyone they consider suspicious without a warrant. Polls show that the practice has support from a majority of New Yorkers, including former police officer Martin Golden, who's now a state senator representing South Brooklyn.
If anybody doesn't think stop and frisk played a role here, they're fooling themselves. Stop and frisk gives you the ability, if you see something, you know, a bulge, you see somebody moving in a certain direction, you would be wrong not to jump on that individual, not to toss an individual.
But critics of the practice say stop and frisk violates the Constitution and that it's not necessary to fight crime. Jeffrey Fagan teaches law at Columbia University. He says other big cities like Los Angeles and Houston have also seen violent crime decline to levels not seen in decades.
If you look at the 50-year perspective, and there are cities across the spectrum that have their crime rates have gone back to what their 1960 levels were without having to resort to these tactics. Some of them are using sort of targeted hotspots policing, problem-oriented policing where they identify particular crime locations and go in and try and reduce the opportunities for crime in those places.
Fagan says that's sometimes a matter of just putting more police on the streets as a visible deterrent to crime. New York has used all of those tactics too, though Fagan thinks policing is only part of a much bigger story, one that includes the gentrification of inner cities and the end of the crack epidemic.
These are big social forces, big economic forces, big demographic forces. I think it's a bit of a conceit to think that what the police can do can actually have the kind of leverage to move the needle on crime up and down.
But as long as the murder rate continues to decline, it's inevitable to wonder what New York is doing right and what, if anything, other cities can learn from it. Joel Rose, NPR News, New York.